Good morning, everybody. We're here with you. We are live. We are church. That's what we are. You know, I had to think about this. We've been doing this for almost 4 years now, every Sunday morning. What are we? Well, we are God's church. All right. We don't have the building, but we got you and I. The temple of God is in each and every one of us. And when we come together, this is God's church. All right, so welcome church. There I said it, okay? It's my story, I'm sticking to it. Not gonna take it back. Anyway, I love you guys, I appreciate you. And I'm so thankful that we can be together. I hope you got your coffee. I got my coffee. And you know, why is it that I am so excited to be with you guys every week, all over the world, we have people all over the world, is because we ask the question here. We always ask the question, God, where is your truth? Where are you? We want to go the direction you're moving. This is the problem with most churches, church system, the buildings, the denominations, is that at one time God was moving with them, perhaps, but then God kept moving and they wanted to stay in one place. Why? Well, because it got comfortable. Well, because they wanted to build that big building, you know, add on to it. Well, because they needed more money for programs. God says, I'm moving. Are you going with me? No, I'm not going with you, so they say. So God moves on. So what do you have? You have a dead church. You got a building with a bunch of dead people in it, but not us, I pray. The question is, are we on fire for God? Like this, fire, you know, God's fire, right? Are we on fire? And this is a simple question. Are we on fire? Are you on fire? Am I on fire? Or are we just kind of like smoke, you know? Smoke and mirrors, right? And this is the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we on fire for God, or is it just a bunch of smoke? No, I say that we're on fire. I don't want smoke. I want the truth. And this is why we're together. Okay, what are we talking about this morning? Do you feel lonely? I want to ask you this question. I want you to stop and think before you answer. Because a lot of people, if you're like me, you'll go, no, I'm not lonely. I got my wife. I got my kids. I got a friend here, a friend there. But when I start really going deep inside spiritually, now listen to me. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But I feel like there's someone out there that can relate to me. Do you feel lonely? Do you feel isolated when it comes down to it? I'm not talking about your family, your friends. I'm talking about at the end of the day, do you feel like you stand alone? Well, I've got news for you this morning. You're not lonely. You're set apart and you're marked for greatness. Okay? You're not lonely. You're set apart. Now, let me say you're not lonely. You go, David, how can you say I'm not lonely? I feel lonely. You are not alone. You may feel lonely, but before this meeting is over, before our time is over, I pray that you will no longer feel alone. You will understand that you may think you're alone, but you're not really alone. You've just been set apart. Therefore, you won't feel lonely anymore. Does that make sense? No. All right. Been looking at my life, you've been looking at your life, wondering, why do I feel alone? Why do I not fit in? Why every time I try to blend into the crowd and to listen to me, something inside just doesn't feel right. Now, if you do blend into the crowd, if you do not have this problem, if you're walking through the world and you can fit into everything that comes along, then I question, where are you with God? David, I got a great church. I fit right into my church. then make sure your church fits into God. I'm going to say it again. If you're telling me that you fit into your church, you need to make sure that your church fits into God's plan. You need to make sure that preacher up there preaching fits into God's plan, meaning his words is God's word. You need to make sure that band upon that stage or whatever music it is coming from God and not some illusion, not some, worship, fairy tale. Because if you don't, you'll be deceived. If you don't, you'll look around one day and go, you know what? I really am alone. And you will be. But what you don't want to be is alone and not have the presence of God. Now listen to me. You're not separated. If you're listening to me and you're where I am most of the time, you don't fit in. You're from the outside looking in. You feel like you're separated. You're not part of. You're not separated. You are set apart. Let me say it again. You are not separated from God. You are set apart. You say, David, I feel like I'm separated from the world. Well, congratulations. That's where you need to be. This is difficult, folks, because we want to be loved. We want to be part of. We want to, you know, the world has a few good things to offer, and we'd like to be a part of that. I'm not saying you can't be a part of every little detail, but you cannot be part of the world's system. And if you're feeling bad, if you're feeling set up, if you're feeling separated, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not the feeling of being separated that's the issue. It's the fact of, why do you feel separated? Why not feel set apart? That's why right now I'm believing people are listening to me all over the world and going, David, that's it. Thank you. I'm set apart. I'm not separated. I am separated, but I'm happy. But now I know I'm set apart. For what? For God's greatness. You've been marked for greatness. God has a plan for you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. God has a plan for you. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how short you are. I don't care how skinny you are. I don't care how wide you are. He has a plan for you. Now, so I don't care how wide you are. If you're too wide, you won't be able to get through the door. And if his plan is for you to get through a door, that may have to slim down a little bit. Here's the issue. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care about your past. I care about where you are right now with God, where you're going from here to the future. And that's all God cares about. You've been cleansed. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. We need to stop wallowing in the past and on our past, you know, hurts and sins. We need to be in the now. Because when we're in the now, then we're in the how. How can we do it for God? You're not rejected. You're selected. Listen to me. When I do an altar call and God asks me, tells me to ask people to come forward, the main thing that people come forward for with a broken heart is that their family rejects them. They don't fit in. They say, my family, I don't believe, is saved, so they don't want me around them, but I feel rejected. That's the main thing. You're not rejected. You're selected. You're selected to carry forth God's word. You're a messenger. You're an evangelist. Don't feel rejected. Feel selected. Feel honored. Okay, they don't want me here. I've been kicked out of churches. 4 times in my life, 4 churches, I've been asked to leave. And the reason, I'm going to give you a few reasons. One is they didn't want me asking people to clap in church. It was not appropriate. Number two is I pulled kids from out of the congregation to come up and play music and sing. Some of them had never been asked to come on a stage before, but they were so happy and so blessed. Even a little girl with Down syndrome came up and she spent months singing until the preacher came and said, "You can't do this anymore." I said, "Why?" "Because these kids are singing out of tune." And I said, "Let me tell you something, preacher. To you, they may be singing out of tune, but when their voices reach heaven, it's perfect pitch." Oh, that preacher made me so mad. I guess I had righteous anger. I could have picked up that desk and thrown it across the room. But I didn't. And it wasn't me that was hurt. It was the hurt inside of me. I felt for the children when I had to go and tell them they could no longer sing. Why? Because some preacher somewhere said, "You sing out of tune. You're not adequate to praise God, to lead worship." Preacher said, "Well, your wife can stay. I like her piano playing, but you can't, David. I just can't have this. If you do what you're doing, I can't build this church." People come in and they see kids up there singing out of tune. They don't want to stay. "Well, good. Don't let them stay. Let them leave. I don't want them in here anyway." All right, so I felt rejected. I did. I walked away. I was rejected. I was hurt for months. But then God spoke to me, said, "David, you're not rejected. You're selected. You're rejected by the world, by religion, but you're selected by me." I said, "Thank you, God. I'll take the selection from heaven and the rejection from earth instead of taking the selection from earth and the rejection from heaven." Does that make sense? I didn't bring Kleenex. I should have brought Kleenex. I'm sorry. I cry because I think about these kids. You see, if I would have been able to stay in the church and let those kids sing for years, let's say, just imagine how it would have encouraged them. It would have changed their lives. But because of some preacher with some brain dead religious spirit, wouldn't let it happen. I can't dwell on it, and I'm not dwelling on it. I'm just sharing it with you because I'm preaching on it, you might say. But it still hurts, not for me, but for the kids. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, blameless before him. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. What? The foundation before the world was created. He chose you. He chose me. That we would be holy and blameless before him. What does that mean? Does that mean we're supposed to be some religious, righteous nonsense? No. We're supposed to be right with God. It means walking with God. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But by golly, when I fall, I'm going to brush off my knees and just keep walking with God. Because God's moving and I want to go with him. And when you do that, you are holy. Not something around your head like the Catholics do. No, I'm not talking about that. Not some holy water being thrown on you. You're walking with God. You are imperfect, but you're walking with God. And in God, I am perfect. In Christ, I am perfect. And I'm held blameless because I'm hanging on to my daddy. I won't let go. Now, you can't keep hanging on to God and hanging on to your sin at the same time. That doesn't work. I tried that. That's a double-minded person. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one, hate the other. You got to let the sin go. Let the world go. Let that stuff go. Hang on to God. You say, "David, I have an addiction and I'm still dealing with it." Fine. But that's no reason not to hang on to God. When you hang on to God, the power of God will break that addiction if you hang on long enough. Now, sometimes it happens overnight, in the twinkling of an eye. But sometimes it's a process. But don't let go of God. And don't let some religious system tell you that you're not good enough because, you know, you're past, you got caught up in this and caught up in that, or maybe you were divorced, so you're not good enough to serve. Don't you do it. You get out. Get out of that church. All right, let's bring in scripture here. All right, 1 Peter 2:9. For you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. That's you. That's me. That's not somebody else. That's you. A holy nation, which means the nation isn't a country. It's a group of people. That's you and I. In these last days, we are selected. We are the elect to carry forth the truth. We're a people of his own possession. He owns us. And that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness of the world into his marvelous light. Folks, he doesn't want you to be a part of the world. That's why you feel like you are separated, and you are. You are set apart. You see? It's how we look at it. I want to tell you a story. First, I want to have a cup of coffee. Does anybody have anything to say about this? Let me bring on some comments and see if anybody has anything to say. Crystal's with us. Rob is with us. You guys, you're so awesome. Thank you. So Lori says, that's exactly how I felt, David. I was just thinking about this. See, this is how God works. I'll put this up. That's exactly how I have felt, David. I was just thinking about this very thing yesterday and feeling sad about it. Thank you for clarifying. See, this is God. This is how God works, is that when you pray and say, God, give me some words. Give me some words. Give me a sermon. Give me something I can say. And God gives it. Do you want to know why? Because there's someone out there that needs it. So he calls you to deliver it. And this isn't about me on Sunday morning. This is about all of us. When you pray, God, use me. What can I do for you? Well, listen to what God's saying, and he will give you a word that you can give to someone else. You see. All right, let's get back to that. All right, so there was a time I was in Los Angeles. I talked about this, but I want to approach it from a different angle. I'm going to call it the glass wall, okay? This is the time I walked the streets of Los Angeles, and I mean, I was successful, had movies, money, a beautiful family, but I was walking the streets of Westwood, and I would stop during the day. I was depressed. And I even had a church. I was doing music in a church, but I'd be looking through the glass, watching people laugh. They'd be with one another, seem to be laughing, you know, eating and just kind of connecting, right? The world. And I said, Lord, I wish I could be like them. But then God said to me, David, you're not like them. And you're not separated. You're just set apart. See, where you are, God's telling me, God said this to me. He says, where you are, David, is where I am right now. Where you stand is holy ground. Man, that word changed my life. That word changed my life. I stopped looking through the glass at what I didn't have, and I started looking at where I was standing right now on the ground, because that was holy ground. Where my feet stood, I realized that's where God wanted me to build. See, we got to stop as Christians looking through a glass and seeing something we think is better on the other side and look where we are right now, because this is where God wants to build his church. bigger and better, moving up. You, right where you are right now, you say, David, I'm on a walker, I'm in a wheelchair, I don't walk. That you don't need to stand. You just need to be where you are right now. I know people in wheelchairs that walk better with God than people that are marathon runners who say they're Christians, but they're dead Christians. This is where God wants to build. He wants to build right where you are, right where I am. That's why we're doing what we do every Sunday. Every time we come together, we build a stone in God's wall. God's dynamic wall. You see, in that moment, I stopped envying the world, looking through the glass. And the minute I stopped envying the world started envying me. Let me say it. The minute you stop envying someone else, the world, looking through a glass, the minute you stop that and you start realizing that it's you who are standing on holy ground, the world will most likely want what you want if they are chosen by God. See, because you build what God tells you to build. The people inside the glass wall will start looking out and go, wow, what is that? You know, we're doing Last Evangelist, the TV series. And I'm all over the United States. We've won 33 awards now. And I'm able to get the award and stand up and say, I want to thank my executive producer. And they're all like on the edge of their chairs. Who is this guy or girl? And I say, my executive producer is my God in heaven. They'll come up to me afterwards. I don't know their belief, but they'll pat me on the back and they, man, we really like the fact you said that. Now, I don't know where they are spiritually. Sometimes I don't get a chance to talk to them, but something happens. They want to be where I am. I'm holding up the award and I'm giving God the glory. Instead of looking through a glass going, I wish I could be like them. God help us. People should look at us and go, I want that. We shouldn't look at them and go, oh, I want to be more like that. But you are marked. Listen to me. You're marked. That's not a bad thing. I'm not talking about the mark of the beast. I'm talking about the mark of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You're not an accident. You are not an accident. You are a divine assignment. Let me say it again. I don't care. Maybe you were supposed to be aborted. Maybe your parents said they didn't want you. You are not an accident. You're a divine assignment. God assigned you before the foundation of the world. You were set apart. Jeremiah 1:5 says, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. He gave you the assignment. You're supposed to do it now. You say, David, let me wait for a little while. I got to get this in order, and I got to bury my dad, and I got to, you know, do my crops. And Jesus, let the dead bury the dead. Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. God gives you a desire, a vision. He'll give you the provision. He gives you the assignment. He will show you what needs to be done. Stop procrastinating. It's now. See, before you can be marked and used, you must be separated. Let me say it again. Before you can be marked by the Holy Spirit and used by the Holy Spirit, you must be separated. You ever see a barrel of bad apples? You know, we talk about a barrel of good apples, and inside the barrel of good apples, these many good apples, you find one bad apple. I want to switch it around. Look at the barrel. They're all bad apples except for one. One apple is good. But all the rest are bad. Well, what do? You get that good apple out of there. You separate it before it turns into a bad apple. Does that make sense? Well, I forgot my Kleenex. Well, anyway, I hope you guys don't mind if I use my shirt. I'll wash it after I'm done here, I promise. I know my wife is probably watching going, yeah, well, you better promise. Okay. Barrel of bad apples. One good apple. Do you leave that good apple in there? Are you going to reach in there really quick and get rid of the bad apples and keep the one good apple? Because if you keep it in the barrel long enough with the bad apples, it'll just be a bad apple. That's the way it is with you and I. God cannot keep us with bad apples. The world is a bad apple. If we stay there long enough, we become a bad apple. Don't look like them. Don't smell like them. Don't feel like them. They are bad apples. And I'm not talking about the prostitutes and the pimps and the, you know, drug dealers and all that. I mean, yeah, okay. I'm talking about the church, the wretched religious church system. Don't be like them. I want you to say this with me. I am too ancient to be deceived. Say it with me. I'm too ancient to be deceived. I'm too futuristic to be confined. Say it again. I am too ancient to be deceived, and I'm too futuristic to be confined. I'm a prophecy walking in the flesh. Say it. I am a prophecy walking in the flesh. I am a divine disruption. Say it. I am a divine disruption. So let's break this down. I'm too ancient to be deceived. What I'm break down here is this. Is that if God knew you before you were in the womb, before the foundation of the world, you must be ancient. You look pretty good for being that old. Don't I look good? And we're talking about spiritual, okay? So, I mean, I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Maybe you've got a different Scripture that contradicts that Scripture, though I don't think there is Scripture that contradicts Scripture. Maybe you've got one, or maybe you think you have one. But God knew you before the foundation of the world. That's a long time, baby. That's a long time. It's a long time to be on Medicare. You would break the system if everybody, you know, understood. You're ancient. You're not new. You've been around for a long time. So you're too ancient to be deceived. Do you ever meet somebody and just got those old soul eyes, you know, and they seem to be. Now, I'm talking about in the world. We don't know how they are spiritually. But I'll meet someone and they just seem like an old soul. We call them old souls. Well, that's who we are in the spirit. We're too. You can't deceive us. You can't. Now, we can be deceived periodically, but we're going to hang on to the blood of Jesus. We're going to hang on to the garment of Jesus, okay? We're not going to let him go because he won't let us go. Okay, we're too ancient to be deceived. We're too futuristic to be confined. What does that mean? It means we can see things. So don't confine me, church, you church on the corner that had been doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different. It's called spiritual insanity. Don't confine me there. You can't keep me in the walls of a church, most of them, because I'm too futuristic. I can see things that are coming down the pike. You go, David, now you're getting, you know, new agey. No, it's this new age. This is scriptural. God gives us visions. He gives us dreams. Read the Bible. It's just that people don't want to see it. They don't want to listen. People want to pray and whine to God. They don't have prayer, vigils. They got wineries. They just whine. God will give you the vision. He'll give you, he'll tell you, he'll show you what, if we will just shut up and listen. The Holy Spirit will guide us. So I am a prophecy walking in the flesh. You are a prophecy walking in. Well, what was prophesied? I've read a bunch of scripture. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew you before you were put in the womb. You were set apart. Tell me that's not prophetic. The last part of this, I am a divine disruption. Oh boy, that's a good one. Does it mean I disrupt the divine? No. But it means I am a divine disruption. I disrupt the religious system. I disrupt the world. I disrupt the demons coming from a divine nature, from God. Heaven and hell both watch every step you make. Let me say it again. Heaven and hell both monitor every step you make. Every word you say, every thought that you have, though I'm not sure demons can really monitor your thoughts, but thoughts always turn into words. Words turn into actions. Actions manifest your reality. That's a different sermon. I'm not going to talk about that right now. Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for being on Instagram. The Christian, what is that? The Christian something, theology. Christian theology. I'm so glad to have you guys. Amen. Thank you for being on Instagram. You know, God just says go on Instagram. Ark Web is here. Okay. You were designed for conformity. Really? You were designed for conformity? Yeah, to conform to heaven, not to the world. You were not designed for conformity to the world. You were created for transformation. This transformation doesn't come free. Free meaning you're not going to just mail it in, baby. You're going to feel the bumps. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. I'll get another sip of coffee here. Am I preaching too loud? You guys tell me if I'm preaching too loud. Okay. You're dangerous to the darkness. I'm dangerous to the darkness. You're not just another believer. You're a crack in the devil's foundation. Let me say this. You and I aren't just another believer. I'm tired of hearing about all these believers. Oh, you're a believer? Well, let me see what you're doing. Oh, you're going to church every Sunday. Oh, you're feeding the homeless. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying you're not a believer, but too many people are saying they're believers, but they don't really believe. See, when you are a believer, a true believer, you are a crack in the devil's foundation. Let me say it again. When you're a true believer, you're a crack in the devil's foundation. You're not out feeding the homeless. You're not out digging wells for children in Africa. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But what you are is a divine disruption. You're cracking the hell out of the devil's foundation. David, did you curse? No. I said you're cracking the hell, the Hades, the darkness out of the devil's foundation. Let me tell you something about TV preachers. I watch them. And preachers on YouTube and, you know, a lot of them have a lot of charisma. Yeah, they're good talkers. I go, this dude's got, my wife will pull up stuff, so you got to hear this. And I'll look at the dude in skinny jeans, you know, and standing in front of 10,000 people on a Sunday morning. And he'll, the first five words, I'm going, I can't listen to this. I'm sorry, I can't listen. But he's just so good at I don't care how good he is at communicating. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in how God communicates through him. I don't care about charisma. See, you don't carry charisma. I don't carry charisma. We carry the Spirit of God. That's all we should care about. I don't care if I speak good. Maybe I do speak good. Maybe I don't. I don't care. I really don't. You know, I'm an actor. I'm a songwriter. I'm a, you know, and if anybody can speak, I guess I can. But guess what? It's because I don't care if I speak good that maybe I do. Only because God says, okay, here's a person that doesn't care, and he's an empty vessel. He knows that he's nothing without me, so maybe I can use him. So God chooses me instead of choosing a donkey. That's true. If he looked at everybody in the world, I believe, this is conjecture, And he couldn't find one person that'd be willing to be empty enough to let to get filled by the Holy Spirit and speak the word of God. I think God would choose a donkey. And if the donkey couldn't do it, he'd find a rock somewhere. The point is, God is speaking. It's not who's speaking. It's who's speaking through someone, which is God. See, when you walk into a room, every demon knows it, whether you know it or not. If you're a real believer, a true believer, when you walk into a room, every demon knows it. You may not know it, but now you do because I'm putting you on notice. When you pray, chains start breaking in generations deep. I'm going to say it again, a true believer, when you really, I'm not talking about whining. I don't want to hear a pity party. I'm not interested in a winery. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about, do you know how many people I hear praying, especially these good-hearted Christians? Oh God, if it's your will, please protect us. Oh God, I do want to thank you for what you've given here and you've given there and I've given. There's nothing wrong with that for maybe 10 seconds. But then where is the power in all this? I've had people say, let's pray and ask God to heal. I said, I'm not going to ask God to heal. God never told me to ask him to heal someone. Why do I need to ask God to heal someone? God gave me the power, just like he did Jesus, to command a healing. I mean, come on. When you walk into a room, demons should shudder. They get confused. They stutter. When you pray, chains should start breaking generations deep. And stop being a wimp. Go to God with the power and the commission he's given you. Stand tall on your own two knees. Stand tall humbly and say, God, thank you for giving me the power that your son Jesus bestowed. I'm going to use that power. Show me. I can't do it without the Holy Spirit, without the guiding, but show me. See, you're not fighting just for yourself. You're carrying a torch for your bloodline. I'm going to say it again. You are not fighting just for yourself. You're carrying a torch for your bloodline, for those before you who fought the war but never saw the victory that you're walking into. Let me say it again. You're carrying a torch for your bloodline, for those who fought the war but never saw the victory that you and I are walking into now. Don't drop that torch. You're carrying it for your bloodline. People go, David, you don't know my bloodline. Masons, demonic, darkness. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something else about your bloodline, and I'll say it about my bloodline. I've got Masons in my bloodline. I've had demons in my bloodline. I've had addiction in my bloodline. But let me tell you something else I've had in my bloodline. I've had the power of the living God. I've had one or two people in my generations down that have prayed for moments like this, but never lived to see it. I don't care who you are. Don't you tell me, David. I don't even care if you tell me I was adopted. Somebody in your bloodline, whether you know it or not, was praying. They were praying for you. Maybe they didn't know your name, but they knew in the spirit they needed to pray for someone that was coming after them that would carry that torch. Don't you drop that torch. Don't you do it. It's because you're carrying the torch for your bloodline that every curse in that bloodline can be broken. But don't ask God to break curses in your bloodline without understanding that you've had the power of God in your bloodline. And your assignment is not to survive. Your assignment is to break the curse. Let me say it again. Your assignment is not to survive. You are never guaranteed life past this second of taking this breath. You are not guaranteed. But what your job is, your assignment is to break the curse. Many are called, few are chosen. The harvest is great. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse. When you are redeemed, you are breaking that curse. But if you don't walk in that redemption, there is not a fulfillment. If you don't carry that torch, there is not a completion. You are the fulfillment of your of promises your ancestors cried out for in their prayers. Let me say it again. You and I, me, I am the fulfillment of the promises my ancestors cried out for in their prayers. They had a promise. They were crying out for that promise. You came to be. Here you are. You're the fulfillment of that. And if the Lord doesn't come back and we go on to be with the Lord and the next generation moves on, they will be the fulfillment of what we have prayed for. It's a good one right here. Let me tell you something, baby. You don't need the world's approval. Stop looking for it because you won't get it. You don't need the church's approval. You don't need some preacher's approval. And you don't judge your worth by the volume of the world's applause. Let me say it again. Never judge who you are, your worth, who you are in God, by the volume of the world's applause. See, the world claps for compromise, not for conviction. I'm going to say it again. I've stood in places and I've preached. And there's times I've said, you're clapping not because you're convicted. You're clapping because you're compromised. And boy, you can hear a pin drop. I said, the reason you're compromised because you will not get on your knees and repent. Once you get on your knees, you will be convicted. You'll be clapping for a different reason. When I said that, there were very few people clapping. John 15, 19, if you were of the world would not, would love its own. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world because the world hates you. They hate you. Oh, they will clap for you and they'll feed your ego. They did mine for years in Hollywood. And we love it. We eat it up. It's like an addiction. But they're not clapping for you. They're clapping for the devil. They're clapping because you want to be part of the world still. Though God says, you're my child. I'm not talking about you specifically, but us. So stop measuring your value by how loud the world cheers and start measuring it by how strong the anointing flows. So let me say it again. Stop measuring your value by how loud the world cheers you on. Start measuring by how strong the anointing flows. When I started doing this, I lost some audience when I started preaching on Sunday morning because they wanted to hear the Monday night, and I speak truth on Monday night, but they wanted to hear about demons and aliens and this and that, and I preach on it. I speak on it because it needs to be. But in Sunday morning, I'm bringing a deep, deep spiritual message. Why I'm not, but I ask God to help me. And I lost subscribers. David, you're going to start preaching like that. I want to unsubscribe. Well, I mean, that sounds like something out of, you know, 1920s, you know, hellfire and brimstone. Well, it may be hellfire and brimstone to you. If you don't know the word of God, if you're not walking with God, you better be careful of that hellfire and brimstone. I don't care. I don't care about the cheers. I don't care about the claps. I don't care about the how many subscribers or the amount of likes, though I appreciate you guys. I love it that you're subscribed. I love it that you're here. And I love it when you thumbs up. Don't get me wrong. I love that. I appreciate it. But I cannot measure what I speak about based on those things. I measure it by the strength of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have to. And so do you. You know that. the false church versus the true church, the secret friendly church that says, oh, let's go inside the room. Remember looking through the glass, that analogy? That secret friendly church says, wow, let's get inside that room and let's blend in so we can proselytize them, so we can, you know, bring them over to our side. But Jesus warned the Pharisees in Matthew 23:15, you travel over land and sea to win one single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much as the child of hell as you are. And that's what these seeker-friendly churches do. They travel all over to convert one single convert, thousands at a time, and they convert them into twice the sons of hell that they are. But God's structure is different. See, we don't chase the world. We carry the kingdom. We stand where he places us, and those who are chosen will come out of the darkness into the light. We don't go into the world. And let me tell you something. If you're telling me you're going into the world and trying to win souls, first of all, I don't like that, winning souls. I know Paul talked about it. That's not exactly what he was talking about. He was using a metaphor as an analogy. You can't win nothing. I can't win anything. We can just be part of God's vessel to do God's work. But if you're telling me you go into strip clubs and you're trying to convert people, or you're going into Six Flags Over Jesus churches where you got all kinds of hypocrisy spewing, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to scratch my head and go, okay, well, I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying I'm backing up a little bit in case lightning strikes or something. No. Here is the analogy, and here is an overall assessment. We don't need to go into the world and do these things and have the, we need to be who we are right now, where we are, because people will see that, they will come to us, and they will ask questions. The seeker-friendly stuff is just so sickening. It's disgusting, seeker-friendly. Remember that book the guy wrote talking about the purpose-driven church? I read like 10 pages, and I said, I'm getting sick. I can't read this anymore. I can't. And he went on to form the Six Flags Over Jesus church. See, God's true structure is different. We don't chase the world, we carry the kingdom. We stand where he places us, and then he will bring people out to us. Arise, Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rise upon you. You're selected, not rejected. I don't know, maybe like heaven's undercover agent. You're in enemy territory. You were sent to occupy until he comes. Matthew 22:14. Many of us are called, but few are chosen. So stop comparing yourself. Stop scrolling through someone else's highlight reel. Look down at your own feet where you stand right now. Realize you're standing on holy ground. This is where you are right now. This is not your punishment. It is your platform. Let me say it again. This is not your punishment because we feel like we're lonely. No. You're set apart. This is your platform. It's your holy assignment. Your stage is not the world stage. You're carrying victories for your ancestors in wars and victories they've never seen. Like I said before. Philippians 3:14. I press forward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Someone asked you today, will you stop looking through that glass? What's on the other side? And say, David, I've been looking through the glass for such a long time, and I've always wanted what was there, and I felt rejected, but now I understand. Understand that I'm not alone. I may feel lonely, but I'm not alone. I'm not separated, I'm set apart. I want you to sing this song with me, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to rest on his word. Sing it. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I've proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace I trust you more. Right now, saying, David, what God has spoken this morning has put me on notice that I've got an assignment for my life, but I've been procrastinating. But right now, I'm going to move forward. No more looking back. God's setting people free right now all over the world. Right now, because of his words this morning, chains have been broken. I believe chains of addiction have been broken. Chains of loneliness, poverty, people being healed. Sing it with me one more time. Jesus, 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 how I trust you, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace I trust you more. God has set me free this morning. I'm going to leave on a different level, which I came in, and I just appreciate you guys this morning. I want to share something with you, if I could. This is the Last Evangelist Festival. I want to bring it on here. There we go. Last Evangelist Festival. Join us this Friday and Saturday. If you can't join us Friday and Saturday online, I mean in person, go online. We're going to show episode 3 of Last Evangelist, and I'm going to be teaching a class there, filmmaking, acting, I'm going to do an audition, going to be showing movies. If you can't be there on Friday, be there on Saturday. We'd love to have you to be a part of this. We're going to pray over the filmmakers and the musicians, and I know we're going to have a wonderful time. If you'd like to sponsor, make a donation to the festival or be a sponsor where you can have a table or you can speak both online or in person, you can call 844-806-0006 or David at davidhebner.tv. We'd appreciate that so much. And then also, too, if you find in your heart that you'd like to give to this ministry, we stand for abused women and children and anybody who's abused, but that's specific. davidhebner.tv/give. Text the word CHOSEN to 91999, call 844-806-0006. And also, too, you can call that number to get prayed for, appreciated. If you're not a member of David Hebner TV, please sign up, David at davidhebner.tv. That's where you go. We have all these different shows, 1,200, more than 1,200 on the network. And I promise you'll enjoy it. You'll get out your end times popcorn and you will hear the truth, because that's what we do. That's our job here. And but I love you guys. I appreciate you. Now, something really, really important I want to share with you is episode 3 has a lot of truth to it. I expose underground operations, missing children. If you want to know what happens to a lot of our children that go missing and they never find them, we expose this in episode 3. Pray for us, because we do need your prayers, okay? Protection, you might say. We go all over the world, and I mean all of the United States, and I preach. So your donations help me travel. This is a young man in LA that gave his life to the Lord in Los Angeles a few months ago. And this is a young lady, you know, well, that was actually the theater in Ohio. I was at a church, Pastor Shannon's church, showed Last Evangelist in the theater. And it was such a blessing. And I preached at the church. And this is a young lady here that was there at the event, maybe 11, 12 years old. We're touching people all over the world, folks. And it's because of you. It's because of your prayers, your encouragement, and your donations. So consider becoming a partner. One other thing, too, because I want to bless this ministry that I'm getting ready to tell you about. They pick up cars, and they even take land that people have inherited, whatever. But if you want to donate your car, land, you can call 855-500-RIDE or 844-277-HOME. It blesses that ministry, and then they bless our ministry when you call and tell them you're with David Heaven or Last Evangelist, Full Power Wisdom, Inc. Okay, I love you guys. I think that's all of the bookkeeping we have to do, housekeeping, house cleaning. Also, too, wanted to share with you, we do have all of our different product you can buy on our site. And it helps, again, it helps support the ministry. I've got hats and t-shirts and so forth. Okay. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Remember, you never really lived till you found someone to die for it. And that's Christ Jesus. Okay. God bless you. Love you. Hey, everybody. I am honored and blessed not to have just one new book out, but two new books. That's right. Two new books. The first one is End Times Investigation. I deal with Hollywood mind control. I deal with demon portals, the alien-demon connection, astral projection, program multiples, satanic ritual abuse, and much, much more. The things that I talk about in Last Evangelist and on my shows, all my interviews I do, it's right here in this book, especially my life story. Also, True Power, how to access your true power in these last days. Okay, it's a war manual for God's children. We need to learn the enemy's tactics and how to battle the enemy in these last days. Pick up a copy of this book. Just text the word CHOSEN to 91999, or you can go to davidheavener.tv/order, or you can simply call 844-806-0006.
How can people be a participant and help you bring the Last Evangelist story to the public?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we set it up as the model like the CHOSEN, where you can go and donate. You can actually be the financier on it. You go to lastevangelist.com and you can donate. You can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can be, or just donate. Special thank you.
Hey, everybody. Episode 1 and 2 are finished, but we're now filming episode 3. Would you please help us finance this very important mission? Episode 3 deals with mind control and how government is taking over the church. You can call 844-806-0006, or you can go to lastevangelist.com, or you can text the word evangelist to 71777. You can watch episode 1 and 2 right now on davidheavener.tv. I love you all. Thank you so much.